When we're going to chazer, we'll try to learn this Gemara a little deeper. So not for now. Let's see the Mishnah. Kuvav Amin Aleph. The Mishnah is discussing the Malacha of Seder. To trap a loose animal. Yeah. The din of Seder only applies to a live animal, of course. It doesn't apply. There's no Seder on a dead animal. Once it's dead. There are some live animals that are not recognized as live animals. Let's say there is a malach of Natilis Neshama. So the Gemara has a discussion on Kuv Zainam and Beis that there are some bugs that don't count. The Gemara in the middle of Kuv Zainam and Beis. The Gemara quotes Bryce, Reb Lezer, Amahari, Kina Bishabis, Kahari, Gomel Bishabis. It doesn't matter whether you shoot a camel, a gigantic, big, fat animal, or you kill a little bug, Akina Bishabis. Then the Gemara says, but there's a machlekes hatanaim. Why the tanaim hold that harikina b'shabbos is not chay machlekes ablezer and Reb Yeshua point there. Machlekes hatanaim because it's not part of a rovin. So what if you have such an animal that the chachamim declare that it's not a balchai with respect to the din of Natilis Neshama? Would there be an Iser of Tzedah on such an animal? You have such a bug running around. The Chachamim declare, for some reason or another, whatever that means, ain't a part of a Rove, it's a different kind of reproductive system. It's ain't a part of a Rove, so therefore it's not considered a Balchai with respect to the prohibition of Natilis Neshama. So what about with respect to the Malach of Tzedah? But you say also that it's not recognized as a Balchai. Never says Beferish in the Gemara. So that's a Machlekes HaRishonim. Machlekes the Rambam and the Ramban. What happens if you have an animal that is alive? Let's say I have a snail. And it's walking an inch an hour. And I go and I trap the snail. So it didn't need such a major effort in order to catch this animal. It's like Nitzot V'yomim. So then the Gemara says that there's no Iser Av Tzeda. Iser Av Tzeda only applies if you had to work hard to catch it. That's the Gemara on the base. On Kuvav on the base, the Gemara has about 20 lines from the bottom, a little past the middle of the Amud. Tana Rabbanan Hatzotzvi Suma V'yoshen Chayiv. Chigar V'zokin V'choyle Potter. If you trap an animal that's a chigar, it's limping, it just can't run away. Zokin, from old age, 100 years old, it can't run anymore. Choyle, it's sick, a choyle, can't run. So the Gemara says, Astira, Aibo Hatanya Choyle Chayev. There's another Tosefta that says that if you trap an animal that's a choyle, the Gemara says it depends what kind of a choyle. If he has a choyle, Ishosa means fever. The animal has fever, so it's laying in bed. Okay, it's taking medication, fine. But if someone's going to come to trap the animal has to have to run. So the animal's going to run away. It just has a fever now. So then if you trap such an animal, you hide. But if it's a chayla ma'af chamas guf tzino, the animal is just pooped. It's exhausted. It was running on some kind of a marathon, and it collapsed at the end of the marathon. So it's chayla in the sense it collapsed, guf tzino. So if you're going to come to start to hunt it, it'll say, I surrender. It's like, yeah, it doesn't have the koyach to run away. So then the Gemara says that you're not chayiv, because it needs to be yomit. If it needs to be yomit, then there's no iset seder. But if you trap an animal that's a suma, a blind animal, or a yoshin, the animal happens to be sleeping, so then the Tosefta says that you're chayiv. The Gemara explains, mashnahani, why is there a difference between the two? One to say that the suma and the yoshin should also be like nitzad v'yomit. So the Gemara says, no, hani avidi l'rabuye, v'hani lo avidi l'rabuye. If an animal is asleep, or the animal is blind, it has a chush that if someone comes to trap it, it's going to wake up and it's going to run away, even though it's blind. It'll know that it's about to be caught and it'll start running away. So therefore, it's not nitzad v'yomit. So that's the klal. One is only in violation of tzedah if he does tzedah on an animal that's not nitzad v'yomit, that it's a free animal. If it's not free, nitzad v'yomit, then there's no iser of tzedah. The Gemara has right before the, a little later, right before the Mishnah, Hatzad Chagovim Mishas Hatal Potter. Why? Because when the dew falls on the Chagovim, it blinds them. So they just lay there, incapacitated, and they can't run away. So that's nitzad v'yomi, there's no problem. What about b'shas ha-sherev? It's so hot outside, people are fainting all over, people are chalushing from the heat, and the bugs are also chalushing, the chagov are also chalushing. But if someone's going to run to catch them, they'll have enough seichel to run away. So that's like atzad suma, atzad yoshen, hani abiri le-rabui, they're going to run away. So that's what the Tosefta says, that b'shas ha-sherev chayv. Okay. It all depends whether it's nitzad v'yomer or it's not nitzad v'yomer. Then the Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim a little earlier, about 15 lines, 20 lines from the bottom. Tan rabban atzad chagovim gezin tzirim v'yitushin. If you trap any bug, any type of a sheretz, chayiv divi reb meir, v'chachomim maimrim, and we paskin against reb meir, we paskin like achachomim, that some bugs are not subject to the malach of tzay, the kol shev emeina nitzad chayav, emeina nitzad potur. What is the basis of the din of Ein B'mino Nitzot Potur? So that's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos on the next daf. And Kuv Zainam and Aleph on the opening Mishnah and Shemana Shvatzim Amurim Batorah. Hatzodon, so the Mishnah says, Hatzodon L'tzorech Hayov Shalol L'tzorech Potur. If you trap an animal, Shalol L'tzorech, then you potur. Zok to Rashi, because it's a malach Hashem Tzvicha L'gufo. Reb Shimon he kimuki lo b'gemara. I don't plan to use the animals. Malach Hashem tzvich l'gufa patur aleha. And then he throws in a line, the ein b'mino nitzay. So Rashi understands that the whole concept of ein b'mino nitzay simply means if you trap an animal, that the minig olam is that you don't trap such a bug. Today they trap everything for research purposes. They're studying everything in the world. They had what the fellow say last week. They have five experts, a whole bunch of experts on the copepods. They're trapping all bugs in the world, and there's people making money, making research and everything. But b'zman ha-tanayim, there were animals that were b'mino nitzad, ein b'mino nitzad. So Rashi is teaching that the reason why ein b'mino nitzad is potter is aliba de Reb Shimon, because malach Hashem tzvicha l'gufa. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Shaloi l'tzarech potter pirush Rashi ein b'mino nitzad, ein aniren. No, these are two different dinim. Malach Hashem tzvicha l'gufa l'chud, and ein b'mino nitzad l'chud, they're two different dinim. Two different halachas. If the thing is aimed at mina nitzad, ala yesh lefar shafil mina nitzad potim shtam alochin shen tzvich l'gufo. Abinatam mochkem ena pirush. Abinatam was so upset, he said that his grandfather Rashi never said it, then he crossed it out from the pirush Rashi. It's ridiculous, yeah. But how does it say? Rashi seems to have understood the way it says by us, maybe it's a misprint. Rashi seems to have understood that aimed at mina nitzad is not that it's such an animal is not subject to tzay, it's just that it's going to be an ein tzvich l'gufo. And Tosfos disagrees. No, these are two distinct halachas. So what is this new halacha of Ein B'mino Nitzot? That an animal which is Ein B'mino Nitzot is not subject to Tzedah. So the Avnei Nezer writes all of the halachas that he didn't get a chance to finish in the Eglay Tal. So he has all of the beginnings in the Avnei Nezer. So Avnei Nezer has a piece on this. So he writes that 38 out of the 39 halachas you're supposed to accomplish some change. The one malacha that's a malacha grua, so it's not really not making any change. It's just that I want to learn this sefer in the park, so that's why I carry the sefer from the Mishnah Sayochad into the Mishnah Sarabim and I use it over there. But basically, it's the same sefer. It didn't really change anything. The change is that now I have the sefer in the park. When the sefer was in the house, I wasn't able to read it in the park. I can't read so far. I can't turn the pages. Even if I could be, I can't turn the pages. And now that the sefer is in the park, so I can use it. Okay. So each malach is supposed to affect some kind of a change in the world. So apparently by tzedah, it affects a change that this animal was never really under my control. And now that the animal is under my control, now that I'm tzedah, the animal is under my control, so now I can use it for my purposes, whatever my purposes happen to be. I can shecht it and eat the meat. I can kill it and give the meat to a goy. I can shecht it and use the oris elim yadamim. I can shecht it and mizark the dam on the mizbeach. Whatever. I can shecht it and do some research on it. So apparently that's the machlokes hatanaim Rav Meir and Chachamim. So we pass on like the Chachamim. If the animal is aimed but mino nitzod, so it's not considered a change. It's only considered a change in the animal. I affected a change. An animal that's under my control is different from an animal that's not under my control. The hainu, it's under my control. I can use it for some purposes. But what if it's ein b'mino nitzot? It's an animal that no one ever uses. There is no such animal. But Bisman Gemara, there were copper pods that no one was making any research over. So such an animal that no one ever does anything with it. You don't eat the meat, and you don't use the skin, and you don't zerk the dung. You don't do anything with it. So the only reason why people trap it is in order that it shouldn't bite them, in order that it shouldn't cause any harm, in order that it shouldn't eat up all the crop or something. But they don't really use this animal. So it's not only because it's going to be a malacha shein tzvicha legufa. No, even if you hold like Rabbi Yudah that malacha shein tzvicha legufa chayv aleha, you can still argue the point and say that ein b'mina nitzed will be potter. That's in fact, the Avnei Nezer points that out. He quotes a Tosefta where Rabbi Yudah says, Rabbi Yudah is the town who holds that a malacha shein tzvicha legufa still, and he said deraisa, and still he says if it's ein b'mina nitzed that you potter. Rabbi Yudah is the one who disagrees with Rabbi Meir. Usually when you have a machlekes Rabbi Meir v'chachamim, so the Gemara will assume that the Bar Pluk de Rameh is Rabbi Yudah. So the Avnei Nezer says, and that's what it says in the Tosefta in Perek Yud Gimel, where this comes from. Rabbi Meir is the one who says, Afilei Mimina Nitzoy, there's a violation of Tzedah. That was the, where was that Brisa again? Brisa listed off. All Hatzad Chagovim, Gezim, Tzirim, Yitushim, Shabbos, Chayv de Rabbi Meir. And then Vachachamim Paitrim, Vachachamim disagreeing Mimina Nitzoy. And the Tosefta says that Bar Pluk de Rab Meir is Rab Yudah, which is usually the case. Meir Machlokes and Rab Meir Rab Yudah. So Rab Yudah is the one who holds that Ein Tzvicha L'Gufa is the Raisa, and still says that Ein Mina Nitzed is Pata. So it's Beferish like Taisa says that they're two unrelated topics, not the way it says in our Rashi. The name of Mina Nitzed simply means Ein Tzvicha L'Gufa. If it's Ein Tzvicha L'Gufa, how can Rab Yudah subscribe to that? He's the one who holds that Ein Tzvicha L'Gufa is the Raisa. So that's the suggestion of the Avnei Nezer. That the accomplishment, perhaps you have to say the accomplishment, the change that you accomplish in Seder is that the animal is now under control and it lends itself to be used. Rav Shimon will say, you have to have malacha tzich legufa, it's only going to be Seder if you actually plan to use it. Rav Yudah will say, even if you don't actually plan to use it, but the only time you consider it a change in the Hefza is if it's a type of an animal that lends itself to be used for some purpose, for research or something. But if you have an animal that's never, no one ever traps it, it's ein mina nitzed, then it doesn't lend itself to tzeda. Is this taka the definition? Is this the definition of the malacha of tzeda? Is this taka correct? So the Avnei Nezer suggests that lechora that may be a machlekes Rabbi Yudah and Chachamim in the Mishnah. The Mishnah and Kuvavim and Aleph says that they both agree. Rabbi Yudah and Chacham both agree that the only time what is in violation of tzeda on a bird is if you trap the bird in a migdol. If you trap the bird babayis, then you're not chayiv. Because it's not nitzot. You have to trap the bird in a migdol. What is a migdol? So Rashi gives you a French word. Okay. A migdol means like a credenza. Like a piece, a wooden piece of furniture that you hold the dishes in, that you hold a closet. A migdol is a closet that's inside an apartment. So tzipor, if you trap a tzipor into the bayis and the Mishnah would appear that you're not chayv, the Gemara is going to pick on the Mishnah, that it doesn't make sense. But the Mishnah says that they both agree. Atzor tzipor la bayis is not chayv, has to be tzipor la migdol. What if you tzor a tzvi la bayis? So Rabbi Yudah says you chayv, but only la bayis. But if you trap the tzvi, legina lachotzev la bibrim, you will not be chayv. And the Chachamim disagree, they say no. Atzor tzipor la migdol, they mask him with Rabbi Yudah. Only la migdol, not la bayis. However, tzvi is either la bayis, la gina, la chotzo, la bibrim, would also be chayv. That's the machlokes Rabbi Yudah and the Chachamim. What is the point of the machlokes? Just in degrees. Machlokes in shiurim. How much of a tzeda do you have to do on the tzvi? So the Avnei Nezer has a suggestion that maybe the machlokes atanaim is a fundamental machlokes, namely, what is the definition of tzeda? If you trap a deer, begina, bechotzer, or bebibir, and it's no longer free to run loosely, so it's going to have a psychological problem. You're going to have to go to a psychologist, and he's going to feel trapped. The tzvi will feel trapped, because he doesn't have the freedom that he had before. But you don't have any control over the tzvi. The tzvi, babayis, you have control over the tzvi. The bayis is not so big. Bayis means a room. But if you have a bias with 20 rooms in it, that's like a gina and a chotzer and a biber. That'll be a machlekes Rabbi Yudah and a chacham. So that's what the Avnei Nezer suggests. The chachamim perhaps think that the definition of the malach of tzeda is when the animal psychologically feels trapped, that it realizes that it lost its freedom. even though you don't have any shlita over the animal. And Rav Yehuda disagrees, and he says, no, only if you have shlita over the animal. So that was the suggestion of the Avnei Nezer, that maybe Rav Yehuda holds Malacha Shein Tzvicha Legufo Yechayiv Aleha, and nonetheless he's the one who's quoted in the Tosefta in Perek Yud Gimel is disagreeing with Reb Meir by Ein B'mino Nitzod. Reb Meir was a Tanakama that Yechayiv on all of these Haktzod Chagov and Geiz and Tzir Mitushim Shabbos Chayiv de Reb Meir. Rachacham in Poitrim, the one who disagrees is the Reb Yehuda, and he says it depends whether B'mino Nitzod Ein B'mino Nitzod. Why? So the Avnei Nezer thought, because B'mino Nitzod means that you have shlita over the animal. Did you change the animal? So it only is shaykh to talk about changing, making, accomplishing some change in the world if you have shlita over an animal that people use for some purpose or another. But if it's an animal, the same as mina nitzah, what do you mean I have shlita over the animal? No one ever uses that animal for anything. I don't plan to use it for anything either. So according to Rabbi Yehuda's definition in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says, Hatzod, Tzvi Labayis Chayv, only Tzvi Labayis and Tzvi Lagina Lachatzah Labibra is not Chayev, even though the animal lost its freedom, but you don't have shlita over the animal. So Rav Yehuda is the one who emphasizes the shlita of the person over the animal. So that's why Lishitasei, he's the one who says that Ein B'mino Nitzod would be potter.
The Gemara also has that by the Rabbanan. The Gemara says that it could be the Rabbanan say only be Bukhad, not be Bukhad. The Gemara says it looks different. And one is that you get a Bukhad Shetir. That's also shlita. It could be the Rabbanan only Bukhad and be Bukhad.
Yeah, you can't say it's Rav Yehuda l'shitasa. One minute, you can't say that that's the end of the story, because we split the psak. Rami Rav Yehuda alacha k'Rav Yehuda. So on this machlek, the same b'min anitzo we pass like Rav Yehuda. Ein b'min anitzo is potter. But on the machlek, Rav Yehuda and chachamim in the Mishnah, those chachamim that's not Rav Meir. So the paskin. If it would have been Reb Meir, we would have said Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, Allah, Reb Yehuda. We should have passed like Reb Yehuda. We don't. There we pass in like the Chachamim, that Tzvi Lagina V'Lachotzer is Chayim. So it's not 100% L'shitos. Okay. It's not 100% L'shitos. Yeah, what if the situation changes? What if Bizman HaGemar, there were still a couple of animals left in the world that were Engel Mina Nitzot? Mizmano said everything is B'mino Nitzot. Everybody's making research in every kind of bug. You have 50 experts in the world studying every single bug in the world. Their marriage life, their divorce rate, everything. They're studying everything about all the bugs. Yeah. So does it depend on Mizman Batin Third? Does it depend on Mizman HaGemar? Does it depend on Mizman HaZeh? How do you determine what's B'mino Nitzot and B'mino Nitzot? This is another question. How do you establish the halachas? In changing circumstances, you say once the halachas were established with Mara Gemara, they remain like that? Or do you say that since in our times, it's all the animals are the Mino Nitzoid, so everything would be subject to the malacha? Yeah, what was the problematic Rashi over here? And on the base, Rabbi Kivega has a shtaka kasha. The Bach and Rabbi Kivega both asked the same kasha. The Gemara in the first parak in Pchoris mentions the fact that milk and honey are kosher. Eretz Yisrael is described as Eretz Avos Cholav Dvash. So milk is kosher despite the fact that it's really a problem, because a Beheima B'chayeha is Asa. So the milk is produced by a live animal, you should really say that it's a Yetzim and Asa Rasa. Let's say the milk comes from a pig, and the milk comes from a horse. So the milk from a pig, milk from a horse is also, that's a din of Yetzim and Atome Tome. That's a mission of the first Perek in Chorus. That's based on the pasuk that says Bas Hayano, that the Yano is an ostrich, so the Gemara says Bas Yeshla La Yano. The Bas Hayano is a Yano. If the Yano gives birth to a female daughter, so the daughter is also a Yano. Why do you say Bas Hayano? So the Gemara says, and what about a male Yano? They're male and they're female. The Yano is also. The Gemara says, no, Bas HaYana refers to the Beitza Soif Tomei. And not only Beitza Soif Tomei, but Cholabei Mitmei is also also, that's the Klal, Ayotzim and Atomei Tomei. So the Gemara raises the question on that Mishnah, so why is milk that comes from a kosher animal kosher, Why don't you say that every live animal, behema b'chayeha, is b'cheska sisim, until you shecht it, it has some kind of an isir or another. Either an isir evim and achai, or the way we paskin, it's not evim and achai, we paskin, behema b'chayeha, lab levar memetis. Until you detach the limb from the animal, it's not an isir evim and achai. But it's an isir evim and zbucha, it's an isir evim and zbucha. So why don't you say that all the kosher milk in the world that comes from a kosher animal should be osir b'achila because it's a yotzman. Also, it's more sense it can't be. Because the Pasuk praises Eretz Yisrael, that it's the land that flows with the milk, Eretz always cholops, so it's a right that the cholop is kosher. Then the Gemara says the same regarding Dvash. Dvash is produced by bees, and bees are not kosher. So why don't you say that since the Dvash is developed inside the body of the bee, and the bee spits it out, that should be like the Basayana, should be like the Beitza Saif Tameh, should be like the cholop Behemoth Meah. So let the honey be osir. Let all the honey in the world be osir. So the Gemara gives two answers. Machlokes HaTanoim, what the answer is. So one Tana says, Zagzeres HaKosuf. Sure. There's a pasuk that says that the honey is kosher, so the honey is kosher. The other Tana says a different answer, that the bees don't really produce the honey inside their body. They pick up, nectar. They go around, they pick up nectar, and then they shake it up inside. Let's say I make a milkshake. So I take milk from over here and chocolate from over here. I take different ingredients, and then I shake it up a little bit. It's not exactly the same as it was before. I changed it a little bit. So the bees change it a little bit inside their system, but basically it was all there from before. So it's not true. That's what the Shalor writes in his introduction. He says that someone may have a taina, that they may not want to read my book. I'm a shegetz. The Shalor writes. So my book is a yetzim and a tummy tummy. So he says, no, I promise everything is a quotation. So just like the bees, they just collect all the honey and it doesn't become treif just because it goes through their system. So he says, the divrei Torah that I'm quoting is all from Rishonim and from Tzadikim, and everything has a source, and it gives you the source. Everything he quotes is from earlier sources.
Doesn't Vash usually mean date honey? I mean, like, it's listed as one of the...
Yeah, the different kind. Yeah, the different kinds of honey. Yeah, but there are psukim in Chumash that speak about honey from bees also. So the honey from the bees, I think the one that's a mashke, the Zion meaning shenishtap chamem eretz yisrael, that's dvash tamarin. But I think the honey that's counted as one of the Zion mashkim, yad shoch adam, so one of them is dvash. I think that's bedafke, not dvash tamarim. That's only dvash devorim. I think the Rishonim say like that. That's only dvash devorim. Dvash from tamarim is considered a michael. It's not considered one in the zaymash. So there are different psukim in Tanakh where the word dvash appears. So sometimes it means crushed sap from the fruits, and sometimes it means the honey that's spit out by these insects.
But Eretz Yisrael is not phrased with these honey. So if the reason that we
Know something is kosher, it's Eretz Yisrael is praised with that, so right. Then that makes sense. But something that's tummy, one of the seven tummy things, like why does that imply that it should be kosher? Yeah. I don't remember what the pasuk is. The Gemara says that praise of Eretz Yisrael is about the milk, so that shows that the milk is kosher. Now where is the pasuk? I don't remember. Where is the pasuk that says that the honey that comes from the bees is kosher? I don't remember. But the Gemara has a pasuk in the first parak in Chorus. So the Gemara says that there are two ways to explain why we allow the eating of bees honey. Either because it's a Gzeres HaKosuf, or because the bees don't really, it's not really mishaveh, it's not really notzar in their bodies. The bee collects the nectar from other places and just shakes it up a little bit. It changes it a little bit, so that's not called Yetzim and Atam. So the Gemara says, what's the difference? Whether reason A or reason B, the Gemara says it's a Machlokes HaTanoim, and the difference is, if it's a Gzeres HaKosuv, the Dvash is Mutas, so it's only Dvash Stav. But if it's Dvash Gezin, that's not Dvash Stav, then it's going to be Yosef. But if you say the reason why it's kosher is because it's not really produced in the body, the insect collects it from other places, and then it just... puts it together, shakes it up together, so then the same would be true regarding the Dvash Gezi. So that's a Machlokes HaTanoim in the Mishnah in the Raisa, in the first Perek in Choriz. Where does he tell you that it is? Dav Zayin, I forgot. That's a machlokes hatanan. So the assumption is that the gezen are not kosher. So Rashi writes over here, the gezen are a kosher. Min chag of tahor hu v'nacholim. It's against the Gemara. The Gemara said first, the gezen are not kosher, and that's why there's an issue regarding dvash gezen. Should it be usher, unlike dvash devarim, or should I say no? The heter that applies to dvash devarim should carry over to dvash gezen as well. If the heter is based on exeris hakosov, that only then it only applies to dvash that has no shame lavai, plain dvash. Regular, normal, plain dvash is dvash devarim. It wouldn't include dvash gezen. But if you say the yisoda heter is because it's not really called notzar b'yisr, it's not noilad b'yisr, it's not mishava inside the goof, it's collected from outside. So any insect that will collect from outside, it will be mutter. That's part of the issue that they discuss regarding the royal jelly from the bees. That some people are crazy about this royal jelly. They say it gives you an arichas yamim and it heals all of your sicknesses and it clears your mind out. Everybody can think better. So the shaila is that this jelly, it's produced by the bees, but it doesn't go under the name dvash. The goyim don't call it dvash in the Jews. Everybody calls it something special. They call it royal jelly. It's not. It doesn't taste at all the same as bees honey. It tastes very bitter. So l'chorah should depend on the two opinions in the Shulchan Aruch, whether you pass the dvash gezen is mutar rasa. If the head of the dvash is that it's not noilad b'yisr, it's not notza b'yisr, because the honey is collected, the nectar is collected and just put together, then this should be the same. But if you say that it depends on dvash that has a shem lavai as opposed to dvash that doesn't have a shem lavai, so dvash tam is plain bees honey. But the royal jelly that the bees produce, that's only saved for the queen bee, and no one else, the other bees don't use that honey, that has a special name to it. So that should be dependent on the 2 days in Shulchan Aruch. Which Tana's opinion should be accepted regarding the Dvash Gezen? And we had a Gezen, the Rashi is a problematic Rashi. Rashi writes about this bug, Gezen, that it's a kosher grasshopper, so the Gemara is assuming in Chorvis that it's not a kosher grasshopper. Okay. What else over here? It says in Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah that those who have the practice of going to Tashlich should not carry with them food to throw to the fish. Why? So there are two reasons that are given. So first of all, they point out that you're not allowed to carry, if there's no Erev, where you're walking, you're not allowed to carry food for a behema, or you're not allowed to carry food for a nochri. Because we accept l'alocha, all of the drushes. So there are three drushes on the word lachem. Lachem v'lo lagavoya, lachem v'lo leklovim, lachem v'lo liyakum. That you're permitted to cook food or to do a malach on yontif, to carry food. Let's say I want to eat and I want to have a picnic in the park on yontif. So I can carry all the things to the park. Hoytzoh is mutter because it's tzorach achol nefesh. I want to eat in the park. I want to eat in the sukkah. So you're allowed to carry on yontif. On Shabbos not. On yontif yes. But what if I want to carry for a nochri to have a picnic? I want to carry for the klovim. So that's the pasuk lachem alo leakum lachem alo leklovim lachem alo legavar. So there's a machlekes in Rishonim how we pass them. The bottom line in Shulchan Aruch, we don't allow. You're not allowed to carry food in order to feed the fish. The fish are not lachem, so it's prohibited. And even if there's no issue of carrying, let's say it's tocha erev, in the river is tocha, everything is tocha. There's no issue of carrying. There's another issue that the Gemara says. Tosfos quotes from the Gemara Kufnun Hamad Beis, the end of the Masechta. Are you permitted to feed birds or not? So the Gemara says it depends whether Mizanaseim Alecha or Mizanaseim Alecha. You're only permitted to feed birds if they're your pets and it's your responsibility. You have a farm. So it's your responsibility to feed these animals, so then it's permissible to feed the birds. But if it's not my responsibility, they're Oifah Shal Hefker flying around, so then you're not permitted to feed the birds on Shabbos and Yom. Magen Aram writes that there was a minig that on Shabbos Bishalach they would feed the birds, because in Parshas Bishalach Moshe Rabbeinu says that tells Bnei Yisrael that they shouldn't go look for the man on Shabbos Hayom Lo Simtzu Basode, because there isn't going to be any man on Shabbos. Man is going to come down on Friday Lecha Mishnah, on Shabbos nothing is going to come down. It says in the pasuk Vayetzim Inam Lilkot V'lo Matzo. Some of the people went to look for the man, and they couldn't find any man. So what did they have? Have a minute that they're going to find. Well, Olam HaTorah sounds like there was man, but somehow it disappeared. So Rashi quotes the Medrash that these wise guys planted the man there, and they came back just in order to show the Moshe Rabbeinu, who didn't know what he was talking about. And then when they came back, the man that they had planted disappeared. How did it disappear? Because the birds didn't want Moshe Rabbeinu to look like a liar. So the birds did a teiva to support the Jewish religion. One of the 13 principles of faith is that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Adon Anabim. Whatever he says goes. So he said there's not going to be any man. There isn't going to be any man. And these guys planted the man. They hid it there. So the birds ate up the man, so that no one should think that Moshe Rabbeinu was telling a lie. So out of Hakoras HaTayv to the birds, we want to repay their Tayv. So the Magen Avraham quotes a meaning that you give food to the birds on Shabbos B'Shalach, when you read that story in the Chumash. So the Magen Avraham says that it's an improper practice, because the birds that come up are Roif Shal Hefker. It's not Emezen Esem Alecha. And according to the Gemara Kufna and Hamid Beis, if you have an animal that's Emezen Esem Alecha, you're not permitted to feed them on Shabbos. Other Achrayim, the Chassidish Achrayim, defend the practice. They say, no. Since we feel an indebtedness and an obligation out of Hakoras HaTayv, and HaKadosh Baruch Mekapeach Tchar Kol Beria, so B'Halachta B'Drocha, we have to go in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch. So just like the Ribbono Shel Olam rewards the Klovim, says on the occasion of the Yetzias Mitzrayim, Le'yachwet L'Kelev L'Shono, so we want to reward the Klovim, so we use Tzeres HaKlovim in manufacturing Sefer Torah Tefillin and Mezuzah, in treating the hide to convert it into parchment. So just like we reward the klovim for the gutta maisim tevim that they did, so too we feel indebted to reward the birds for their gutta maisim tevim. So if the practice has it, if al pi minig we reward them by giving them food on Shabbos b'shalach, so that's called mezayin esem alach. That's what some achrayim defend. All right, yeah, defense, not defense, but the principle appears in the Gemara Dach Kufnen Hay that if it's not mezayin esem alach, you're not permitted to feed the animals on Shabbos and Yom Tov. If it is Mesen Esem Alecha, then you are allowed to. What's the issue? Why is there an Issa? So Rashi writes that the reason why a Mesem Lefnei Mezayna is Rashi on the fifth line from the top of Kuvav and Beis, Psanudin, Kev Nehem Mukze, Vemotze Lemitrach Alayhu. If you have an animal which is Mukze, if you have, what do you mean, if you have an animal, every animal in the world is Mukze. Which animal is not Mukze? Tosfos said, what is he talking about? Every animal is Mukze. Rashi is funny. If you have, because the Gemara says sometimes you're allowed to give Nesim Lefnei Mezayna, sometimes they Nesim Lefnei Mezayna. So Rashi says, if you have an animal that's Mukze, you're not permitted to be Matriach on behalf of the Mukze. So Tosfos says, what do you mean? All animals are Mukze. The Gemara says that sometimes there is a Heter. Veina Nira Klal, it says. Rashi says, because the Mukze Nesim Lefnei Mezayna is not allowed to be Matriach. Veina Nira Klal, it's wrong. The Tanam Lekamon Perek Basra. If it's Mizan Sam Allah, it's mutter. Avagab the Muktim Him Bishabs. All animals are Mukta on Shabbos. So the Rashi is very problematic. We don't know what Rashi means. So what can you say over here? The Tesis gives a suggestion which is pretty muchach in the Gemara. They say that this is a clearly a Gzeir Drabban. This is a Gzeir Drabban Shema Yovel Tzudo. Whenever the Issa Tzedah is a Malacha Deraisa, then it makes sense to introduce a Gzeir Derabban, a Gzeir Shema Yotzu. Sometimes you have with the Issa Tzedah is only with the Rabban, so you have three Madregas. Sometimes you have an animal where there's an Issa Tzedah Deraisa. Second category, you have an animal where there's an Issa Tzedah Derabban. And the third category is an animal where there's a Hetzer Tzedah. There isn't even an Issa Tzedah with the Rabban. So if there's an Issa Tzedah Deraisa, then it makes sense to make a Gzeir Shema Yotzu. So you make a Gzeir, Einosim Lefneim Zainas. You're not allowed to feed the animal, if you have an animal but the whole prohibition to do tzedah is only with the Rabbanon, so if you'll introduce a gzera that'll constitute a gzera l'gzera. What's the gzera shema yotzud? Even if you tzad it, it's only going to be an isa de Rabbanon. So why should you make a gzera shema yotzud if the whole prohibition against being tzad is only the Rabbanon? So that's how Tosfos interprets the Gemara. Whenever there's an isa tzedah deraisa, then we make a gzera einosim lefnei mezainis. And this Xeris, whenever the Isik say there's only with the Rabbanon, then we don't introduce the Xeris Shema Yotzud, because that would be Xeris Xeris, so then it's Mutter, Losis Lefnehem Zeris. But this is really unrelated to the other cloud. There's a different Gemara that in Kufnun Hei, that Tosfos quotes, if it's Mezenis Seim Alecha, if it's your responsibility to take care of these animals, then it's mutter losis lifnei mezenis. If it's mezenisim alecho, then you're not allowed to give. So what if Taisus is blending the two in? That's what they work on. If they don't really come up with a good explanation, what I mean, aim is an esayim alecha means that the zenis et seder deraisa. Aim is an esayim alecha means that the maximum is there's going to be an esed seder derabbanan muta legamre. Is that what they mean? I guess so. That's the accepted pshat, the way Taisus said. That the Yisr and Nesh Lef Neim Zenis is Gzer Hashem B'Yotzud, which only applies when there's a Melach of Seder Deraisa. Whenever it's only Seder Derabon and Amut HaLegamri, then there's no Gzer. In every case, a Mezenis Neim Alecha is either going to be a Hetet Seder, Mut HaLegamri, or the worst the Yisr Seder can be is going to be an Yisr Derabon.
Then the
what if the tzeder will be a melacha mid rabbanon? I think it would be a melacha mid rabbanon. I don't think it's going to be a zer mid rabbanon. You get the impression that Taisus understood when the Chachamim are interested in making the Gzeira of Enes from the famous Enes, they had in mind which animals are we going to make the Gzeira on. I would have said like you, they made Gzeira, Enes from the famous Enes. Any animal that you're not allowed to be tzad, you're not allowed to be Enes from the famous Enes. So Taisus doesn't understand. So that would only be a trade Rabbanon, that wouldn't be a Gzeira or Gzeira. But Taisus Hepis assumes if they're making a separate Gzeira and this animal, separate Gzeira and that animal. So they're thinking in advance which animal should be make the Gzeira on. So they say, on such an animal where the whole Seder is only the Rabbanon, so we're not going to make a Gzeira because that's going to be a Gzeira like Gzeira. It's a little strange. Why don't they just make one universal Gzeira? Any animal that's also a Tsudo, he's a Tam Shayir, also lost his Lefana Mizanis. I don't know. It is a problem. Why should Taisus consider this Xeru L'Xeru? It should really be at Shvuz the Shvuz. It should have been us. It is a problem what you're raising. I don't know. Then the Gemara speaks within the Chachamim Shita that when the animal feels trapped, when the animal lost its freedom, even if you don't have control over it, when the animal lost its freedom, so the Chachamim hold that that's a violation of Seidom. So sometimes you can have the same type of an animal, but it has a different psychological outlook on the world. If you have a tzipa drawer, a bird that's always running around, so a tzipa drawer, babayis, will not be nitzod. But another tzipa will be nitzod already by bias. It will already have lost its freedom. It will already not run around freely. Then the Gemara says animals also, different kinds of animals. Some animals are wilder than others. So some animals are so wild. See, the Mishnah here says that the Chachamim disagree with Reb Yehuda, and they hold if you trap a tzvi, not only labais, even if a bais means a room, even if you trap togina, chatzar, biber, that's enough to be tzedah deraisa that you chayv. So the kasha was that there in Beitza, it says the Farish that sodom chayv yofis min abibrim biyontif, that there's no tzedah. So the Gemara says there are different kinds of chayas. Some of the chayas are wilder than others. So if it's a chay that's wild, it's going to feel free. Even in a gina, in a chatzim, and a biber. But if it's not such a wild animal, once it's going to be in a gina or a biber, so it'll feel restricted and feel as if it lost its freedom. The Gemara says that part of the issue of tzeda depends on the nature of the animal. Even the same type, even the same family of an animal, but one is going to be wilder than the other one, so that'll determine whether you accomplished the tzeda or not. Okay, I mentioned, I think, that on Sunday I won't be able to give a shiur. Monday I hope to give a shiur, but I'll have to start a little later, about 1 o'clock or so, maybe a little late, maybe quarter after 1. We'll try for quarter after 1.